Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Oh! Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jack weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big football show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in rainy Southern California. We're in the middle of a pretty good rainstorm right now. Not raining at the exact second as we do this program, but we will have more rain coming up this weekend. And there's actually going to be some rain up north, too, and in Northern California. That's going to be significant as we count down to the Pac-12 championship game Friday night from Levi's Stadium. That's one of many different college football conference championships being played around the country. And that includes the Power Five and the other five conferences, who we call the Group of Five of schools. So it's a big spot. And for this big spot, we're going to be joined by most of our panel tonight. John in Connecticut joins us on the air. Ron in New Jersey as well. And in addition to that, we have a guest picker tonight who will be joining us on the air alongside everybody else. So I want to thank a few people from the last couple of weeks. I want to thank John in Orlando. I want to thank... who was the other? I think we had this idea who sent in picks last week, and we'll tell you how those picks went in a little bit. And I think there might have been one more. I'm trying to remember who it was. It could have been Dave in Queens. It could have been Robert in Virginia. It's just been, you know what? Actually, I can find it right here. Actually, I wouldn't have to waste too much time working on that. But it's incredible. We hadn't done a football show in quite a while. And I want to thank you for your patience waiting for the next show. We did do all our picks on the website, ditcow.com, during all that time. And we'll tell you who our guest picker is this week as well as we get going. And I think everybody has called in. If they've not, well, we'll see. So the other week we had... So for week number... Blah, 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 blah. So we had Dave and Queens back in week... 11, week 12. Do I have that right? No, I don't. Week 11, it was Robert in Virginia. Week 12 was Dave in Queens. Week 13, it was Coach Andrew Jacobson. You guys remember him. He now lives in Denver. Then week 14, which is a week ago, we had this idea. Now we'll give you our next guest picker coming up in a bit. So let's get to it. I don't want to waste too much time because there's a lot to cover. And in the college football rankings, you end up with that. I think it's still Ohio State and LSU, the top two. And number three, thanks to Alabama losing to Auburn the other day, is going to be Clemson at this point. And four is still Georgia right now. But Georgia plays LSU in the SEC title game, so that's probably going to change. In fifth place is Utah. In sixth place is Oklahoma. In seventh place is Baylor. This is all significant because, number one, there was some concern that Oklahoma could have jumped Utah, which I think would have been a disgrace, but that did not happen. However, Baylor moving up to seven is kind of setting up the committee to make an excuse to put Oklahoma in. So watch for that as we see the SEC, I mean the Big 12 and the Pac-12 games coming up. All right, let's not waste any more time. Let's hit it! Football picks week 15. We have really been off a while, and boy, where does the season go? Really, so much has gone on. We hope that you've enjoyed the shows that we have done during this time. So let's give you the particulars as to how it went down a week ago. Well, we had a really good week as a panel. John in Connecticut, Andy in Seattle, and I, Dave in the City, went 3-1 last week. Did a really good job. Ron in New Jersey, after week of having an incredible run, he had a 12-week run of unbeaten weeks of picks. So it is only now in week 14 that he had his first losing season since losing week since week two. An amazing job. He went 1-3. In guest picks, this idea went
2-2. I think one of them was a close call. So that brings us these standings after the 14 weeks. We have Ron at 34-18-2, solidly in first place. Andy at 27-20-7 in second place. John in third place at 28-24-2. And Dave in last place at 24-28-2. But with the last winning week, it actually makes that look a little more respectable. Guest picks this year, 27-25-2. And college football coaching news, a lot of guys fired. Charlie Strong fired from USF. Steve Adazio fired from Boston College. Matt Lucan, what seems to be a controversial decision, fired from Ole Miss. And in the middle of all that, Chris Peterson decided to step away from the head coaching position at University of Washington. And latest news in college football, anyway, USC deciding to keep Clay Helton, but the speculation is that it's not so much that they really wanted him back, it's just that they couldn't find anybody in the 10 days between USC's last game against UCLA and now. So he'll be back, whether you like it or not, for 2020. In the NFL, Ron Rivera was fired from the Carolina Panthers after they were having a flagging season. They really had a tough time, and they haven't had Cam Newton during much of that time. Newton also has announced that he will be doing the foot surgery in short order. So that's a lot of news to recap in just the 1 week of football action, but there is certainly a lot to talk about. So let's bring in our... forgot to take in the call. Let's go ahead and bring in our panel one by one. And hold on, we actually have Andy on the program. Look at that. I'll just get him on here. And I think I'll message Dave, make sure that I get him back on too. So let's start with John. John, thank you for holding too. How's it going tonight, and how was your Thanksgiving? Hold on, folks. Oh, John, I got you coming out of the wrong thing. 1 second. I got to switch this over. 1 second. Now, that's weird. That hasn't happened in a while. I think I know why that happened. Just give me a sec here. Shit. This is kind of a problem. okay. What happened there? Why is that happening? Let me fix that. Oh, okay. There we go. Okay. I think I fixed that. Okay. Let me introduce John back to the show. John, can you hear me? Hello?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me, Dave?
Yeah, I can hear you now. What happened was the sound was going right to the laptop and not to the soundboard. So anyway, yeah, how's it going? Everything going all right?
Oh, yeah, going great. Glad to be back on. We had a couple weeks off, and Thanksgiving was good. So glad to be back to lots of news happening in the last couple weeks. So should be an interesting show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So let's also welcome Andy to the program. I didn't know for sure if he was going to make it, but he's here. How's it going, Andy? Or maybe that's not Andy. Oh, here is Andy. Okay. Let me get him. Andy, welcome to the show. How's it going tonight? Hello? Do we have him? Okay. Let's also welcome Ron to the program. Ron, how's it going?
Hey, Dave. How are you? How's it going?
Good, good. Can you hear me okay? Everything all right? Everything good with the family?
Everything's good, yeah. Everything's good. Happy belated Thanksgiving, and hope everything went good for you. And you had a good few days off, and it's good to be back on the program.
Definitely. I can say that things went pretty well. And almost all of my Christmas shopping done, too. And that's a big benefit to having Cyber Monday around.
That is bigly.
No, for sure. It's going to be a huge load off the shoulders. Now all I'll have to worry about is wrapping them, so that would be nice, for sure. Did you end up partaking in any of the Black Friday stuff?
I do all my stuff online. It's between Black Friday and Cyber Monday. I think I've got mostly everything done. And, like you said, that's a load off your shoulders. And now, you know, we get a couple weeks where we can enjoy the Christmas season and the football games and, take it easy until the New Year's. Can't believe it's that time already.
Yeah, that's the best, for sure. And we'll do that all with, all the scenarios. Let me see if I got Andy. Andy, are you with us or no? Because Andy says he can't get through, so I got to make sure. Probably not there. Okay.
All right, folks, we got Andy back on the show, and I will try to get Dave and Queens on the show to join us as a guest picker. So let's get back to the business. And let me start with Ron. Ron, are you still with us? Can you hear us? Hello? Ron? John?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay, okay. Just checking. It was... how about that wild... Auburn-Alabama game last week. Though, it was probably the only big game I can remember being really wild. But let's get your recap of the college action and everything else last week. Ron, are you with us? I was good.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah,
okay. Sorry, guys. This is kind of a mess. It's my fault. Anyway, Ron, yeah, you have to get your recap of last week's action.
All right. Yeah, sure. I can break it down. I'll tell you about that Alabama-Auburn game. I was actually and last week is probably my favorite week of college football all year long with the rivalry week, because you're recovering from Thanksgiving and, Black Friday. That Saturday should just be, relaxing in front of the TV. You got Michigan-Ohio State every year, Alabama-Auburn at 3:30, usually a pretty good game at night. The Alabama-Auburn game, I was actually at a kid's birthday party, a kid's laser tag party, at some amusement arcade thing that in 2019 offered no Wi-Fi, so I couldn't get the college football scores. They had one TV in the place, one TV.
Wow!
And it did have a college football game on, and that college football game was Notre Dame and Stanford.
Oh my goodness! Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
So I did not get a chance to recap the Alabama Auburn game until I got home. At about 9 o'clock at night, I was able to catch the highlights. Alabama just wasn't the same without Tua in there. And say what you will about them this year, but the defense hasn't been a normal Nick Saban defense. Auburn, I still don't think Auburn is that great of a football team. Bo Nix plays with the rocks in his head a lot of the times, but. Credit to them. They made some big plays. They hit Alabama in the mouth. They survived the game. So give Auburn credit. That was a good one. A classic in the series. And now Alabama's knocked out of the playoffs. So that was a big game. Michigan-Ohio State went, the way that it's gone the past, 5-6 years. Michigan shits the bed again. Shea Patterson has one good half, and then the second half, Ohio State just blows the doors off of Michigan, and Harbaugh gets testy after the game. You wonder now how much longer he has at that program. I think we've seen the ceiling of Michigan under Jim Harbaugh, which is 9 or 10 wins. Hopefully a New Year's Six bowl at some point, but, he just doesn't seem like he's got them in the national title contention picture going forward. They seem to be a level behind the top teams in the country, and they got to do a better job. Oklahoma State was pretty good. Colorado and Utah, which was a big game, Colorado actually played tough for a half, and you had the geniuses on Twitter, even Mike Francesa tweeting out that Utah is not good enough and da 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 da, and then all of a sudden you blink your eye and it's 52-21 Utah. They just they pulled away in the second half and showed that they belong in the playoff picture. And what other game was significant? Mississippi State with with the kids scoring for Mississippi and doing that the dog feeding celebration, which indirectly or directly got Matt Luke fired from that job because they ended up losing that game, and he gets fired a couple days later. In my opinion, a pretty poor decision on their part. I mean, and listen, Matt Luke is a he's not the you know, the end-all, be-all. He's a pretty dipshit coach, but, I mean, he did get them, you know, he navigated through a pretty rough patch after Hugh Freeze and deserved a little bit of time there, especially with, a pretty good freshman quarterback and a really good recruiting class. They just bought in, you know, Rich Rodriguez this year. You know, they had things going, I think, in the right direction. And, you know, they better have somebody good coming in, you know, behind him, because if they lose a bunch of the kids that they have now to the transfer portal, they're going to be bad for a little bit. So that was a questionable move. But, yeah, that's my recap for last weekend. It was a fun weekend and set things up nicely for a juicy championship weekend.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So let me bring in Dave to the program. Dave in Queens, our guest picker. How's it going, Dave?
Hey, Dave. How's everything?
Pretty good. Sorry about the technical delays, the scenarios there. That was kind of a
no
foobar
problem
on our part. But yeah, everything good. All right. No, I'm good. thanks for the other picks too. I guess we're looking forward to your next batch, and I imagine you got some good juicy nuggets. But let me go to Andy first, and let's get your recap of last week's action.
Yeah, I mean, I was on top of the game. I saw Egg Bowl. I mean, it's funny. A lot of people don't remember that the Seahawk receiver Metcalf. He was the first person to pee like the dog, but you know, the average Twitter person has the memory of a goldfish and doesn't remember. Like, so yeah, that actually happened a year or two ago. The same celebration, but not as costly, obviously. If you had Ole Miss getting one, you pushed. That was an entertaining Egg Bowl for two teams that were basically like 4-8 or whatever. The Alabama Auburn game, as I talked to John via text after the game, like we bet on Bo Nix many times this year, starting with the Oregon game, but three games at home, the Georgia game, at Florida. Let me take that back. At Florida, home against Georgia, and then LSU. Like everything that he could go wrong went wrong for Bo Nix in those games. And then everything, you know, he just had the game from heaven on Saturday. Balls that he normally wouldn't be complete, he completed. You know, so many times this year he's throwing off the wrong foot, going the other way, throwing across his body, and he gets paid for that. But against Alabama, his receivers were making amazing catches. He was making all the plays. He was making all the right moves. And the Alabama defense, as we've documented, isn't the same. I mean, sometimes it doesn't go their way. You know, Saban, flies close to the sun a lot. You know, karma gonna come back sometimes. And karma comes back in Alabama. They're hated and for very, very good reasons. You know, people are sick of Alabama. Alabama fatigue. And it finally set in. I mean, once you saw the 14-point swing when the ball bounces off Najee Harris's helmet and it goes a pick six for 100 yards, right then and there. Yeah, I know the lead went back and forth after that, but it just wasn't Alabama's night. You know, the last 6 minutes of the second quarter when there was about, you know, 40 points between the two teams. Like, Auburn is not a team that usually scores with 30 seconds left in the half with no timeouts. You know, when Alabama, you know, some people are like, they scored too fast. No, they didn't score too fast. You usually don't give up points with 30 seconds left in the half. I was actually surprised that Auburn didn't just take a knee going into the halftime. But we all saw what happened. They got that extra second. Just weird things happened. It was a great game, entertaining game. Alabama and Auburn in the Auburn Stadium, you're going to see some crazy stuff. And we saw crazy stuff. It was a great game. I mean, I had to watch the game with my mom. I had a parlay go bunk immediately after the game. She's like, did you lose? No. What gave it away that I lost money on the game? Was it the tweets? Was it the swearing under my breath? What do you think? But all in all, as we know, the last regular Saturday of the college season, it went by fast. Yeah, the started out well, taking Ohio State. I mean, you see the same movie every Saturday, late November. Jim Harbaugh just doesn't get the job done against Ohio State, and we saw that again. Entertaining. I mean, I was even watching Arizona State late at night. Watched the Apple Cup. Big disappointment in Minnesota, Wisconsin. I mean, that game was in the snow. Oddly enough, Wisconsin basically has their most explosive game of the year. I mean, take away the game one against South Florida. Everyone looks explosive against South Florida. But a game in the snow, you don't expect Wisconsin's offense to show signs of life, but they did. That was a very disappointing second half out of PJ Fleck team, because now I won't watch a single snap of Ohio State-Wisconsin. I would have been more tuned in to Ohio State-Minnesota, but I won't watch a repeat of Ohio State-Wisconsin next week. But, yeah, it was a good slate. Even Cincinnati-Memphis had some juice. Yeah, good times all around. And, you know, Alabama's not going to make the playoff every year, so get some new blood in the mix, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to these conference championships, even though there are rarely upsets in them. We'll talk about that later. But let's continue the recap. John, anything you want to add from last week's action?
No, not too much. So the first two guys did a pretty good job. It's just that the Bama-Auburn game, like, I think the over-under was, like, very, very low compared to the points that were scored. I think it was, like, 48 or 47 or something, and Auburn scored that by themselves. There ended up being 93 points scored in the game, and just obviously two pick sixes played a role in that. But still, both defenses really did not play well at all. You figured the Auburn defensive line would have been able to do a little bit more, but really, you know, Mac Jones had ended up with some pretty decent stat line, but he's really throwing to NFL receivers. He just kind of had to throw some slants and, you know, bubble screens and those kind of things, and just let those guys do, you know, do the work. I mean, that guy Waddle, he's just unbelievable. I mean, they legit have three NFL receivers on their team. So, you know, he did well with what he had on the field, for sure, but definitely a downgrade from Tua Tagovailoa, who they probably would have won the game, I would say, if he was playing. So that injury comes back to bite them, and they're going to miss the playoffs this year. And we'll see how motivated they are for the bowl game. The way the rankings shook out, I don't believe we'll be in one of those New Year's Six bowl games. It's looking like they're going to be playing in either like the Citrus Bowl or the Outback Bowl on January 1st. And who would have thought that for Alabama at the beginning of the season? So they're going to end up playing, like, you know, probably Minnesota or Michigan, or that's just going to be if Bama wants to show up, it'll be a bloodbath, but we'll see if they actually, you know, care about that game. So that'll be interesting to see. So the Minnesota, obviously Andy mentioned it, very, very disappointing. And now, because of that win by Wisconsin, the way the rankings came out, these people were saying today, I was reading on Twitter, that essentially they're setting it up for three Big Ten teams now to be in the New Year's Six games. So obviously Ohio State's going to be in the playoffs. They're going to have a team in the Rose Bowl. It's probably going to be Penn State, got up to 10. And then as long as Wisconsin stays within, like, I don't know, say two touchdowns, they're probably going to get a spot too. So that game had big ramifications for, like, the major bowl games this year, which is kind of disappointing to see those teams. Cincinnati-Memphis was kind of weird, because they're playing again this weekend for the conference championship in the same stadium. So Cincinnati, all they do, they just had to win to get in the game. So Memphis had to win to get into the game. Cincinnati wasn't really playing for anything. They had their backup quarterback in and still played a pretty good game and you know, covered the spread. They only lost by 10 points. The spread was higher than that. So, like, I guess, you know, you wonder how much they were showing, and I don't know. We can talk about that game after, but that was just a very odd scenario. Virginia finally gets off the hump by beating Tech for, like, the first time in 15 years and gets the right to be destroyed by Clemson in the ACC title game. Yeah, really nothing much else to mention from last week. The other guys did a pretty good job. I will say, you know, as a fan of a team who was trying to recreate past glory, hiring their old head coach, it does not work. So I do not see this going well for number one, Schiano at Rutgers. I mean, he'll get them in my opinion, he'll get them better than what they are now, but it's just too tough of a job at this point. And number two, I've seen rumors that USF might bring back Willie Taggart, which is just hilarious. So I don't see that working out
that is
well
weird.
Either.
Big finger, John. Big finger.
Oh, boy. Wow. Okay, so I didn't hear that one. That's pretty funny. David Queens, anything to add?
I think you guys covered it. But, yeah, the Alabama-Auburn game was crazy. As you were saying, like, I've never seen an Alabama defense this bad. And it's a shame because, you know, they have such a fun offense. They might have the greatest group of wide receivers I've seen in college in I don't know how many years. I mean, they're just loaded. But that defense, I mean, Auburn offense is exactly the greatest show on turf, and they were going up and down the field. So, yeah, it was but as Andy said, you know, I guess it's Bama fatigue and stuff. But as far as the other big game, Michigan-Ohio State, yeah, it's the same old shit. I mean, people, you know, Auburn defenders are like, well, he wins 9 or 10 games every year. And it's like, yeah, I know, he's a good coach, but they didn't give him all that money just to be better than fucking Brady Hoke. Like, he, you know, he should at least compete. But the problem is, like, he doesn't get – he gets good recruits, but Ohio State recruits with, you know, Alabama and all the top SEC schools. So I don't know what the – until he gets better players, I don't know what the option is, to pay him more money. I don't know. But until that happens, like, Ohio State is just – they're just too talented. They're too fast. They're loaded everywhere. So, as good a coach as he is, until he gets the roster, the talent level a little closer, it's gonna be the same thing every year. So,
yeah, no, I mean it's you. At some point, you have to take the next step, and I think the 49ers were dealing with a little bit of that. Although they did make a Super Bowl while he was there against Baltimore. Anyway, very good. We're ready for the picks in that case. So let's go to John. And John, when you're ready, let's do your conference championship games. We can talk about some of the games in detail after we're done with picks. But maybe not a lot, because I know Andy's only got a few minutes with us. So John, we'll give it to you first. College football picks. Take it away.
All right, Dave. Yeah, 10 interesting games this weekend for conference championship weekend. We're going to start in the most obscure one of them all. We'll go to the MAC, and I'm going to take Central Michigan, giving 7 points to Miami of Ohio. This Miami of Ohio team is not that good. I don't know how they won their division. They won a couple close games that went their way, but overall, they're just not a very good team. They almost lost to Akron 2 weeks ago. That's all you need to know about them. Meanwhile, Central Michigan, with this unbelievable turnaround, they were 1-11 last year. They bring in Jim McElwain, the former coach at Florida, and they have one of the best offenses like in the country. They just put up points every single game. It's just an unbelievable turnaround, and they're just I just don't see this game being very close at all. So give me Central Michigan minus the touchdown, minus 7 in the MAC title game. And then for my second pick, I'm going to take Baylor getting the 9 against Oklahoma. And this game does worry me a little bit because CeeDee Lamb did not play in that first game, where Baylor had the huge lead and ended up blowing it. But I think the fact that Baylor got moved up to 7 here, it's just, number one, bizarre that last week they moved up 5 spots after beating Texas, an unranked Texas team, which is just crazy. But I think you're right, Dave. They're setting this up for Oklahoma to get in over Utah if they, you know, they beat a number 7 Baylor team. But I just think this is going to be another close game. I think Rule is a tremendous coach. And they have a good defense, and I think Oklahoma might end up winning by like a touchdown, but I think this will be another close game again. And Baylor has to feel that if they win this game, they have a legit chance, too, of making it to the playoffs since they're up there. It's between Baylor, Oklahoma, and Utah at this point. So I think it's going to be a close game. Give me Baylor plus 9 in addition to Central Michigan minus 7 for the conference title picks.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, John. Boy, I'm going to have a lot to say about that Pac-12 championship. I mean, you are talking about a game in which pretty much Utah is getting really very, very few like breaks here from the committee based on what I'm seeing so far. But I am glad that they're still in fifth place. So more on that later. Andy, let's get to your college picks for week number 15.
Thanks, Dave. I'll do a checker on a checker with John. I'm going to take Baylor as well. They had the recipe a couple of weeks ago. They just couldn't finish it, obviously, that second half. Their offense disappeared. I know, as John mentioned, it'll be a little different because Oklahoma's going to have CDBD back. But I do love Baylor's coach. Even liked him at Temple. Temple's a sneaky stepping stone with all these coaches, you know, Al Golden. But anyway, I will take Baylor. We know Oklahoma's defense is a liability. Going into this year, there was talk that it was going to be new and improved, and look what happened. You know, they still give up points time and time again. So with 9 points, you get the backdoor situation. I'd like to see the upset outright, but we'll take our chances. So give me Baylor, game number one. Game number two, we're going to take Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajuns getting 6.5 against App State. We remember John talking about Louisiana Lafayette game one against Mississippi State in the Superdome, and we watched a lot of that game. We've taken Louisiana Lafayette here and there throughout the year. They've had a great record against the spread, a great record overall, obviously. Now they're in the championship game of the Sun Belt. And I don't know, every time you see App State try to do something big, they usually lose to Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern's been like the thorn at their side. Hopefully this week will be the Raging Cajuns. I have no idea who is going to be that team from outside the power, you know, the big conferences to get that bowl game. I know we've all said anyone but Boise State. So I know if La Lafayette beats App State, that might make it easier for Boise State. So that's kind of a contradiction of ourselves. But, you know, you're getting 6.5. I'd like to watch a close Sun Belt championship. So give me the Raging Cajuns getting 6.5 to go along with Baylor. Two underdogs championship Saturday.
Good stuff. All right, thank you, Andy. Let's now go to my picks. And we'll start with the Mountain West. And I'm going to go Boise State minus 14 against Hawaii. I couldn't even believe that Hawaii was in the game. I'm like, what? That team has no defense. I was like, how did they get in the game? And it just goes to show you how shitty that West Division is. So as much as Boise State can be irritating, I do think that they can put away the fighting rainbows, the Rainbow Warriors in the Mountain West. Game number two, we're going to go Ohio State giving 16.5 against Wisconsin. And let's be honest, if the point spread was 21, I would still feel pretty comfortable about it. So that's likely to be a no contest. So Ohio State minus 16.5 to go with Boise State minus 14 for the conference championship weekend. All right, so now we go to Ron in New Jersey, and we're ready for your picks, Ron.
All right, I'm going to go against John and Andy, and I'm going to take Oklahoma minus 9 against Baylor. Like you guys said and summed it up perfectly, I think everything's setting up for the committee to leapfrog Oklahoma over Utah. You know, and I just feel like Baylor threw everything that they had against Oklahoma the first game and still came up short. You know, they dominated for a half and then fell apart. And I just think Oklahoma's going to come out looking for something to prove and looking for to give the committee a reason to put them in the playoffs. So I think it could be a close game. I agree Rule is a great coach, but I think Oklahoma pulls away late to make a statement and probably get that fourth spot. So that's my first pick. And my second pick, I'm taking Clemson minus 20.5 over Virginia. Clemson is playing on another level right now. The past 7 or 8 weeks, it looks like NFL teams playing high school teams. And let's be honest, Virginia is they're not a good team. They're not a great team. They're an okay team. And what a shitty scenario it is that they're gonna, you know, probably lose to Clemson by 40, you know, 45 points, and then turn around and be in a New Year's Six Bowl in the Orange Bowl playing probably against Florida or somebody like that. I mean, yeah, that's something that has to change. That's ridiculous. But I think Clemson dominates them, so I'll take Oklahoma minus 9 and Clemson minus 20.5.
All right, thank you, Ron. And you did bring this up a while ago, last time we were doing the show. And I tell you, that is a disgrace. I do like Bryce Perkins, though. I think he's fun to watch. But anyway, let's go on to Dave in Queens, and we're ready for your guest picks when you are.
Like the other two, I got Baylor also. I just think that they were up 28-3, I believe, against Oklahoma last game, and they were destroying them, and they just collapsed. The Oklahoma, like I think Andy said, that you know the defense is never good. They always let teams in, back in. They never like destroy good teams. They lose to them a lot. So I think they'll win, but I think it's going to be a close game. So I got Baylor. I also got Ohio State -16.5. Just think Wisconsin, they've been better than last year, but they lost to Illinois. They've had some weird games. I just think Ohio State might be the best team in the country. They're just too fast, too athletic. And I think they're going to get out to a big lead, and I think Wisconsin's one of those teams that, you know, they can't come back from. They're not really capable offensively to come back from a few scores. So I think once Ohio State gets that early lead, forces them to pass, it's going to be an ugly situation. So I'm going to take Ohio State -16.5.
Love it. Okay, thank you very much for the picks. Really good picks all the way around. I mean, it's not really a week for upsets, so I think this is pretty good. Pretty good handicapping by everybody here as we get into this really interesting weekend. What was I going to say? Oh, the thing that really my takeaway with Ohio State and Clemson is their defenses are great. And, you know, it's kind of tough to really evaluate that because they play a lot of clown teams in their schedule, but they really do look great on defense, whereas you see LSU giving up like 38 points a game and 350 yards a game. It's like, I don't know if they're going to really beat Ohio State or Clemson in a playoff scenario. So I guess we can talk a little bit about these games, but not too much because I do want to keep, you know, we're a little behind. I'm going to give it to you, Andy, first. Any thoughts, quick hitters you have about any of these games coming up this weekend?
The championship games, I think we kind of alluded to them during the picks. I mean, I don't know. Well, we haven't really talked about Georgia LSU, but I'll be into that game for sure. Georgia's got sneaky good defense, and but I think they've got one of their wide receivers, I think, is out for the first half, or maybe even he got in a fight at the end of the game against Georgia Tech last week. And then I think Swift, the running back, got hurt as well. So he might be a little gimpy, but that'll be a fun game to watch. You know, Georgia's got, they're kind of like the fly in the ointment in the playoff situation. So we'll keep an eye on that. You know, I think traditionally Herb Street and Fowler do that ACC game, but since it's such garbage, they're actually doing the Pac-12 game on Friday. I'll be into that Oregon-Utah game. I know scouts loved Herbert, but he looked like shit against Oregon State the other day. And I guess I'll wear black hat with relish and root for Utah. Because there's just something off with the Oregon quarterback. One day he looks amazing. You know, series to series, he can go from Lou to Lang. But people love it. I think he could be another Jake Locker 2.0, in my opinion. But there's some good games. I can't get into Virginia Clemson. Like Ron nailed it. Like Virginia, the fact that they get to be in a big game is just ludicrous. They look like shit against Notre Dame in the beginning of the year. I mean, yeah, they're good. They're an okay team. And yeah, I'll be more into some of these like lower conferences, like the Sun Belt and you know, Conference USA with UAB and Florida Atlantic. I like all these games. And yeah, and I'll even be into John's game in the MAC. I'll be into them.
Yeah, this is a good spot. So let's go to. Oh, by the way, I wanted to say that Virginia looked like shit against Miami too. That was pretty embarrassing. So anyway, let's go to John. Let's get your look at this week's action.
Yeah, nothing too much to add. The Georgia injury scenario is really holding them back, I think, in this game, as Andy mentioned, or else it'd be more of a live dog. I think the point spread opened at 3 or 4. It's now all the way up to 7. I think over 7, you might have to look at Georgia, but. I just think maybe that kind of kills them from an upset potential. The two games at night are just a joke. They should have moved the Baylor Oklahoma game to primetime and then put Clemson at noon. And those two games that, you know, you have the ACC and the Big Ten title game at that point. I mean, both teams are going to be in the playoffs, win or lose. Although you possibly could make an argument if Virginia had like the biggest upset ever, that Clemson should be knocked out because their schedule in the league is just so terrible. Like one loss eliminates them, but you know, they're not going to lose. Yeah, the AAC will be a fun game to watch. I would think that the winner will get in that New Year's Six Bowl over Boise, especially Memphis, since they're already ranked number 17. So if they take care of business at home, they should be able to get that spot and play in the Cotton Bowl. Yeah, the Pac-12 game on Friday night. It's looking very windy and rainy, so I would think that would help Utah in this scenario. And not to mention that field at Levi Stadium is just complete shit. So that looks just like an under game and just a Utah kind of grinded out win to me. And, you know, but it might not be impressive if it's like, you know, 17 to 10 or 20 to 13. I mean, that might not be impressive for the committee. So we'll see about that. But yeah, some quick hit thoughts on the weekend. Should be some really good games all around.
I agree with that. And I'm glad you brought up the weather in that game, because I was looking at that very intently. It's obviously a good play to make for an under, but it also, like, you just nailed it. I mean, you were talking about how this is going to hurt Utah's ability to really have style points, and that, unfortunately, is important, because even though they have the resume, and they've been some kind of good teams, I mean, maybe not as good a schedule as Oklahoma's schedule was, but it's still going to be a scenario where, because they're not a known entity, they're not a brand, they're not a known quantity, they have to win this game by like 21 points. Because if they don't, then, you know, if they see Oklahoma win by 21 points, they're going to have it. They're going to have the excuse right there. Like, well, they beat Baylor. Baylor's number 7. And, you know, they just did this on purpose, because they're trying to give every opportunity for Oklahoma to get in and no opportunity for Utah. So that's the problem. I feel like that's a problem. Because Utah's played hard, they played very well all this year, and their only blemish was against USC. And in a series that goes back 100 years, they hadn't beaten USC in LA in 100 years. It's a weird, weird thing. You take that game out, they're undefeated. So, you know, it's going to be one to watch. Anyway, let's go to Dave. Any other thoughts? Okay, let's go to Ron. Any other thoughts on this weekend's action?
Everybody covered it pretty well. I'll be into the Pac-12 game, and I think Andy nailed it right on the head. I mean, Justin Herbert, I don't see what scouts see in him. And I know, you know, it's the same school, but I mean, he reminds me of the NFL version of Marcus Mariota. You know, he has, one game he'll look average, one game he'll look great. And then he'll go 3 or 4 games where he looks like complete shit. And, you know, I just don't see it with him. I know he's battled injuries a lot, but, yeah, he looked awful down the stretch this year. And I don't trust him against the Utah defense. But that'll be an interesting game to watch. I think everything, like I said, it's setting up for, you know, Utah and Oklahoma. But, you know, the one exception is if Georgia does win and somehow pulls off an upset against LSU in a close game, you know, I think both SEC teams make it in, and Utah and Oklahoma get, you know, they get left out of the conversation. So that's an interesting scenario to watch. And, you know, I can already see the committee put in Oklahoma, and when they use the justifications, they'll say, you know, because you can't really go based off of strength of schedule, because they, you know, both the Utah and Oklahoma's non-conference schedules were lousy. They both played nobody this year. But they're going to, you know, I have a feeling they're going to use the common opponent, and they both played UCLA this year. Utah won by a touchdown. Oklahoma beat them by, I think, 35.
Yeah.
So you could see that scenario playing out, you know, when the selections are made, and them using that as one of their prime examples of why Oklahoma should get in. Me personally, I'd rather see Utah get in. You know, Francesa said it today, and I think he made a good point. You know, those high power offense teams like Oklahoma, they get into the playoffs against a team with a good defense like LSU, and they go to shit. At least, you know, you let Utah in, a team we haven't seen there before with a decent defense. Maybe you get a more competitive game, but, you know, that's my preference, but I don't see that happening. But it's definitely an interesting weekend to watch.
Yeah, definitely an interesting weekend to watch. I get word that Dave in Queens has lost power to his phone, so he will be unable to join us the rest of the program. That's a bummer. Sorry about that, Dave. Okay, so let's move on to the NFL. And let's go right to the recap, and to that, we start with the Indy in Seattle.
Oh, I mean, there's a lot to tackle. I probably should let someone else handle it, but I mean, crazy stuff. I'm actually more looking forward to next week, but I mean, Patriots look a little stale. Hopefully they can figure that out. I mean, do you see the movie where the Seahawks played a crazy game? Every game that they play seems to be kind of like topsy-turvy. The Thanksgiving games were kind of stale. Green Bay, I was telling John off the program, I wish every -6.5 point spread was as easy as that Packer Giants game. Aaron Rodgers having fun in the snow. A lot of hot takes about the Ravens and 49ers games. A lot of people came away with they're more impressed with San Francisco losing than Baltimore winning, and I'm impressed with both teams. Like, and I was impressed with San Francisco playing in the rain, and I was impressed with Baltimore winning the way they did. So we could talk about the 49ers in a little bit too. But you see the movie where the Chargers lost in unfathomable fashion? That happened again. I mean, there's just so much poo though. There's so much poo in the league. I mean, the late games on Sunday afternoon. I mean, between Derek Carr throwing picks, between Kingsbury looking absolutely foolish against McVay and that Charger game, and then I'll throw in Nick Foles and Doug Marrone for good measure. I mean, Foles obviously came back too quick from that collarbone injury, and obviously Gardner Minshew, I mean, he's got his limits too, but he galvanizes the team. You know, he's got a magnetic charisma. It's not just the mustache, but as someone that has way too many Jaguar skill players on a fantasy team, it makes a difference when Minshew's in there. Finally, I feel like Marrone stuck with Foles because of the $88 million contract or whatever. Like, well, after the three picks, three turnovers against Tampa, they finally bring in Minshew. I guess they're going to stick with Minshew for the rest of the year. And yeah, Tampa, I heard this from Cousin Sal the other day. Tampa is almost like the Chargers of the NFC. They're just kind of entertaining, but not very good. But you know, if they win the Seattle game, which they could have easily in Seattle, and if Dan Jones didn't have that freaking comeback out of his ass in Tampa, then Tampa would be 7-5 instead of 5-7. But I mean, you can't play that game all the time. But they're entertaining. You never know what Jameis Winston's going to do. This week you've got some great, great games coming up.
Yeah, and the one that I didn't even notice until just like a couple of days ago was Ravens Buffalo. That is going to be very, very interesting. That Buffalo defense looks pretty good, but more on that later. Recap time for John in Connecticut. John, what'd you see from last week?
It all started on Thanksgiving, where we bet Mitch Trubisky -4 against Jeff Driscoll. I'm sorry, against David Blau, Driscoll was out. And thankfully, we got the line at 4 because it went up to 6, and the Bears had to pull one out of their ass there. That was just kind of an interesting game, that the fact that the Bears kind of overlooked the Lions there in the first quarter and let them get out to that lead and then came back. The Bills just exposed the Cowboys again for the fraud they are, or at least that Jason Garrett is. Just really dominated that game from start to finish. And I've been skeptical of the Bills all year, but I mean, Josh Allen seems to be figuring things out. It seems to be much more poised and making great decisions. And he always was very athletic and can run the ball. you know, when kind of plays break down or whatnot. And then their defense is good too. So we'll see what happens here. If they can somehow, if they can get an upset of the Ravens this weekend, I mean, they're in really great position. That game against the Patriots in a couple of weeks could be almost for the division lead, which is just amazing to say. I don't expect them to win in Foxborough, but, you know, they'll set it up as a, you know, hyped all week as like a game for the division. But I'm very impressed by the Bills. And then Ask Clown, the Saints, they survive on Sunday night. Thanksgiving night. The Falcons, no one gets onside kicks anymore in the NFL. And this guy, Young Fei Koo, gets three in a row. Like, I could not believe that. As someone who was at the Saints in the under, it was unbelievable. And, like, you thought for sure that the Falcons were going to score after that third one. But the Saints defensive line, just Matt Ryan had no chance. And, you know, that just seems to be the Saints aren't. They don't do many explosive offensive plays anymore. It's more of a dink and dunk kind of offense, you know, to Kamara and to Thomas, you know, Breeze really doesn't have that kind of strong arm. But that's kind of how they're winning now, just kind of ball control, dink and dunk, and then winning with their defense. So those are the Thanksgiving games. Yeah, there's just lots of trash in the NFL, like just lots of dead teams. Like Carolina, it's a dead team. Letting the Redskins just dominate you in the fourth quarter. Andy mentioned the Jaguars. They're just finished. We'll see if the move to Minshew gets them going. But the opening line on that Jaguars-Bucks game the previous Sunday was Jaguars -3.5. And I was so stupid for not firing on the Bucks. And it ends up, you know, they end up winning anyway with the final spread. But that was just a complete joke of an opening line. And how about, I'm surprised Andy didn't mention this. How about Freddie Kitchens? What a fool that guy is. You're wearing a shirt saying that the Steelers started the fight or something like that right before the game. Like, you knew Tomlin was going to have them ready for this game. Like, that's the one thing that Mike Tomlin, like, is good at, is having his team ready for a game like this. And down to the third quarterback, and the Browns, like fools always, lose the game, and it's a huge hit to their playoff chances. But seriously, what is that guy thinking? Like, you're a head coach of a professional football team, and you're wearing a shirt like that? Like, I just don't understand. But, hey, whatever. That's the Browns for you. And, yeah, I fell into the trap of actually thinking Cliff Kingsbury would have his team ready coming off a bye. What a complete joke of a performance that was. Like, giving up 500 yards to Goff, who hadn't had that in his, like, the last three games combined. That was just awful. Yeah, I'm not happy about that game. But, yeah, so just kind of rambling at this point. Yeah, the Ravens-Niners game, that was excellent. I mean, that legitimately could be a Super Bowl preview. Both defenses did well. And, you know, a little worried about Garoppolo. He kind of had a deer in the headlights kind of look at some points in that game. But it's a tough environment. I mean, he certainly looked good in the other big games they had this year. But, yeah, we're coming down to crunch time now in the NFL, that's for sure. And the games get bigger and bigger each week.
Yeah, no doubt. It's Andy's right. This week is really a great setup for of some really good games. Ron, let's get your recap of last week's action.
Yeah, can we talk about how bad the NFL youth is? I mean, yeah. Jesus Christ. I mean, it's been wide open, begging one of the Eagles or the Cowboys to actually win a goddamn game and, you know, get some momentum. And the Eagles just, you know, didn't even show up against the Miami Dolphins. Just a horrendous, you know, gimme game on the road. And Carson Wentz, I don't know what's wrong with him. You know, I don't know if he's ever going to be the same as he was pre-injury, but he just doesn't look like he has the mojo anymore. He's an average quarterback now, and it shows, you know. And the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, I mean, you're at home on Thanksgiving against the Bills and, you know, Josh Allen, who's been a turnover machine at times, and you get dominated. And, I mean, you know, it's basically, you know, implied now that that Garrett's gone at the end of the year. So, you know, Jerry Jones has basically come out and said that, or, you know, implied it, the past couple of weeks. So how do you expect that team to really get up and finish the season strong and make a run when they know, anything short of a Super Bowl probably means a new coach coming in. So it's a mess all around. I mean, I think the Redskins might be, if not the worst team in football, you know, top three. And they're two games out of first place, which is amazing to think of. Just a shit show in the NFC East. You guys covered it, you know, did a great job covering it. Baltimore and San Francisco was a great game. It's rare to see both teams, show up and it not be, you know, one of those prime time 52-45 games, something like that. It was an actually enjoyable, back and forth, old school kind of football game. So that was, fun to watch. I got to watch the Packers and the Giants in the snow. Like you said, Dave, Aaron Rodgers is really just toying with the Giants. They probably could have won by four or five touchdowns if they wanted to. The Packers, they get slow at certain times and then pick it up at other times. And they could have put their foot on the gas, they could have blew out the Giants. It was an enjoyable week. The Thanksgiving Day games, really didn't give you, much in terms of entertainment, but, you know, it's Thanksgiving and we all watch those games and we always will. But it's set up nicely for the next few weeks. A couple big games this week with Kansas City and New England. And that's another game. The Patriots, lose to the Texans on Sunday night. A meme is a meme because, and Andy always says it, as soon as the Patriots lose one or two games, you get the people coming out of the woodwork saying that Brady's done. And I saw something on Twitter this past week that speculated that Bill Belichick could still leave the Patriots this offseason to go to the Giants if Brady decides to retire. So, yeah, so that's... That story is still around there, so it's never gonna end, and it's funny how it always ends up with stupid shit like that. But yeah, that's my recap for the week.
All right, so that'll do it for the recaps. I'm gonna give it to Andy for the picks, and then we'll say goodnight to him, and then we'll give it to everyone else for their picks. So Andy, you have the floor. Take it away for week number 14.
All right, thanks everyone. Game one, we're going to take San Francisco on the road against the Saints. Only get 2.5; you're not getting 3. In real life, you could buy the point, but getting 2.5 here. I guess they stayed in Florida after the Baltimore game. They didn't go back to San Francisco. I guess this is the second time that they've done this, rather than go back and forth with time zones. And this is just a pick where we're taking Shanahan over Sean Payton. Sean Payton is he's ass clown culture. The Saints, for all their talent, they do it different, as John said, as you guys have alluded to. It's not as explosive anymore. It's a lot of emphasis on the run game, and their defense is good, but they still do stupid stuff like the onside kick scenario. Like, that only happens to Sean Payton. They'll be 3rd and 26, and their defense, some big defensive guy will, hit an offensive lineman like on the helmet, just stupid stuff, and give the other team new life to extend the drive when they were facing 3rd in China, which basically happened against the Panthers a couple weeks ago. Still bitter about that game, but I know Shanahan can get a little too cute sometimes with his play calling, but soup to nuts, I think San Francisco is they're just more disciplined. They can execute a little better, a little more well-rounded than the Saints. And I mean, this is a big game for all sorts of NFC playoff implications. I just think San Francisco will do enough. I think it'll be kind of a relatively low-scoring game, even though on paper everyone thinks it might be a shootout, because it's the Saints and it's in a fast turf, fast-building environment. But give me San Francisco, ball control, take care of business. Let's do this. 49ers getting 2.5. And then game number two, I will just fall in the trap and I'll take Seattle again. Sunday night, this is, you know, you got the this is a good trilogy because you're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to get the Saint Niner game. You're going to get the Baltimore Buffalo game, and then you get the Patriots game in the afternoon, and this will be a good good way to end the night. I'll take Seattle even at L.A. I know they played a crazy game in the beginning of the year. Greg the Leg missing the field goal, back and forth game. I know after the Rams won against Arizona, people think they've got new life, but I don't know. Just something's just a little off with the Rams this year. I think the league might have caught up to McVay. I'm not saying Pete Carroll caught up to McVay because I think the Seahawks win in spite of what Pete Carroll does. I think it's more Russell Wilson just having kind of a miracle MVP type of season, and I expect that to happen again. This Sunday, they'll just find a way to just kind of pull it out of their fanny again. You know, Carson and Penny, two-headed running back monster, as long as they don't fumble, they should be able to do some things. I know Metcalf dropped some balls here and there as well, but I think Clowney should be back, and I don't think Goff is going to have a first half where he throws for 350 yards like he did against the Cardinals this week going forward. So this is a huge game for Seattle. That NFC West is just so tight. You know, it's everything's tight, so give me Seattle even to coincide with the 49ers getting 2.5. And good luck, everyone. I'll talk to you all later.
All right. Thank you so much, Andy. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next time. All right. So that's Andy in Seattle joining us on the program. That's pretty cool. I think the Niners are going to – well, let's just get to the rest of the picks before I comment on that. John in Connecticut is next with his set of picks. So, John, when you're ready, we're ready for your NFL picks.
All right, Dave, we'll start off here, and I'm going to take Denver +9 in Houston. I think the Texans, this could be kind of maybe a flat spot, a letdown spot after that huge win against New England. They're playing Tennessee the following week, which is all of a sudden a huge division game as the Titans are kind of getting on a roll. And here comes lowly Denver. And, you know, the Broncos don't have a very good record, but they've been in mostly every game this season. Save for the one Buffalo game where they really didn't show up. But, you know, their defense is pretty good. I mean, even that game against the Vikings, they had that 20-3 lead at halftime that they had slip away. Earlier in the season, even when Flacco was the quarterback, they were in most of these games. So I just think this is kind of a flat spot for Houston, and Denver can keep it relatively close, you know, with between like 4 and 7 points. So definitely give me the +9 in this scenario. So Broncos +9 for game one. And then game two, this one kind of goes, this is the old thing in the NFL. You're never as good as you look or you're bad as you look. So I'm going to take the Raiders +3 at home against the Titans. Now, everyone loves the Titans now. Everyone loves Ryan Tannehill. They've won, you know, how many, 3 or 4 in a row. Well, I think they're going to come back to earth here a little bit. And, you know, the Raiders, they're the toast of the town. They had won 3 in a row. And they go on the road and you get blown out against the Jets, and they get blown out against the Chiefs, and now everyone hates the Raiders again. I think they're going to show up here on Sunday against the Titans. Just a kind of a bounce back, buy low kind of game. So give me Oakland +3, and I actually think they're going to get the outright win. So Raiders +3, in addition to Broncos +9, two dogs from the AFC West, just realized. So we'll stick with it, though, for the NFL picks for week 14.
Boy, that's quite a call there, John. I'll check and see what the money line for that game is too, because I imagine it'd be like +170 or something. Could you imagine if, like, I didn't check to see whether AFC West teams have played any NFC East teams, but I gotta favor the AFC West team in almost every single case. I'll go look that up later. So let's go to Ron in New Jersey. No, not yet. I gotta do my picks. Sorry. Okay, so let me do my picks first. Here we go. Okay. Whew. It's been a while since I've actually had a winning week, so I got to keep it continue here with these selections. Surprised no one has taken this yet. I'm going to go Bills getting 5.5 at home against the Ravens. I feel like the Ravens had a great hard-fought victory, but I also think that team that has a really good run defense, and the Niners are one of them, are going to be the kind of team that can win the game. Niners are right there. I think that both the Bills could be right there as well. It's a big number, 5.5 in a game like this. And I do think the Bills are for real. I think they've done a pretty good job. Their offense is fine. Not great, but it's good. And they can run the ball. And the Ravens are vulnerable at run defense. They're letting everybody run on them. So I think they've got a real shot here. I'll go Bills getting 5.5, game number one. Game number two, going with a homer pick after a nice win. Steelers minus 2.5 at the Cardinals. You saw what the Cardinals can give you on defense, which is pretty clear, close to nothing. I don't think this is necessarily a lock because you never know. Just like John just said, I mean, teams could look very different from one week to the next. But I think if the Steelers' defense shows up, they're going to win the game. So we're going to go Steelers minus 2.5 to go with Bills plus 5.5 for week number 14. Yeah, it's pretty interesting week in the NFL. So now to Ron in New Jersey. And Ron, I'm ready for your picks.
Oh, I hate to do this, but I might as well. I'm staying on the local front this week for both games. I'm going to take the Dolphins on the road against the Jets plus 5.5. You know, I really think the Dolphins can win this game outright. The Jets are battling a lot of injuries. You know, we saw how flat they were last week against the Bengals. They're possibly missing Jamal Adams this week. We know that CJ Mosley's out for the year. Beachum's hurting on the offensive line. The Dolphins have played really well the past 3 or 4 weeks. It's a revenge game for Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's been playing decent. So I like the Dolphins plus 5.5, possibly to win outright. But if not, at least keep it within the points. For my first game and my second game, I am taking the Giants plus 9.5 on the road Monday night against the Eagles. The Giants suck. They're awful. They're bad. And Eli Manning is starting the game. I realize all that. But the Eagles have looked god-awful as well. Something is just off about that team. And they're going to win. They're going to beat the Giants. But 9.5 for that Eagles offense is an awful lot of points. And say what you will about Eli Manning, we all know that he makes, you know, dumb mistakes and can't move outside of the pocket, and the Giants offensive line isn't good. But, you know, Eli Manning is decent enough to control the ball for the Giants, to keep it relatively close. And while I don't think they'll win the game, I think the Eagles will struggle at times, and you know, the Eagles will win, but that 9.5 is a huge number for me. So I'll take the Dolphins plus 5.5 and the Giants plus 9.5, two road dogs with a local flair this week.
That's some good value you've got there, Ron. And I will share with you the money line for the Giants. Giants are plus 350 to win the game. So, I mean, if you did want to dare and do that, I mean, you get 3-5-1 odds. Pretty good. So, for John, the Raiders are plus 125 at home to win outright. So that's possible. Would you do it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would definitely put someone plus 3 in on the money line.
Yeah. You know, it's you got a good point. Could be very interesting come Sunday. So let's get to Dave and Queen's picks. Unfortunately, his phone lost power, so we will deliver the picks via the text. He found a way to message these in during the show, so we're thankful for that. Let's go. Okay, Dave's picks. He will go checker on a checker with both of Andy's picks. He's going to go the 49ers plus 2.5 at the Saints, and he will go with the Seahawks in a pick'em at the Rams. And there you go for Dave and Queens. That's pretty much it. I mean, we could talk about anything else if you want, fellas. But I'll just give it to you for final thoughts, and to do so, we will start with John in Connecticut.
Yeah, it should be a fun week. Really looking forward to the conference title games on Saturday. And I think I might even be looking more forward to seeing the bowl matchups this year on Sunday. You know, when those all start to trickle in, because there's a shortage of SEC teams and some of the Power Five leagues aren't able to fill all their slots. So all these lower schools are going to be in these bowls, and it's going to create some interesting matchups. There's only one team that's going to be left out this year that was bowl eligible. There's 79 bowl eligible teams, and there's 78 spots. So one team's going to get left out. We'll have to pick out our game you wouldn't watch in our backyard for next week. The projections I've seen had Illinois versus Cal in, I think, the bowl game out in San Francisco, and that's just the absolute worst game possible. So we'll see if that comes to pass, but that would be a bad one.
Oh, boy.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing the bowl matchups, and then we can get the bowl mania pools going, and that's always a fun scenario. And then, of course, the playoff push for the NFL, some great games coming up this Sunday. And, yeah, Andy, you know, when he was on, mentioned that you got a great triple header of games on Sunday. Then, unfortunately, we have to watch that NFC East trash on Monday Night Football. I mean, my God, stop putting the NFC East in prime time late in the season. This is a disgrace. We have to watch that game on Monday night and have Booger
and Booger
on the call.
Watch for number three.
Watch for number three. I thought it was half a week. I was like half a week, and I heard him saying about how the Minneapolis Miracle went against the Vikings. Like, what the hell is he talking about? Like, it was just, like, you not know anything about football. It was just, that. It's not like it was something from, like, the 1970s. It was 2 years ago.
I couldn't believe it either. I heard him apologizing on, I think it was on the Scott Van Pelt Sports Center. I'm like, what is he, like, he really thought that the Vikings lost the game? It's called the Minnesota Miracle. Like, why would they call it the Minnesota Miracle? Oh, my God. So, John, one more for you, because I've been kind of wondering about this all day. Conference USA, FAU has been just trashing everybody in there. They're playing UAB. They haven't played UAB all season. FAU's favorite by 7. Who do you like in that game?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I mean, I've not seen much of FAU this year. UAB is always well coached. I love that guy, Bill Clark. He should be up for some Power 5 jobs, in my opinion. But I would lean to UAB plus the 7, but I don't have a strong feeling on that either way. I know FAU has – Kiffin does a good job bringing in some talent, and I don't think UAB is quite as good as last year, which makes it even more remarkable if they're in this position. I know their quarterback, Tyler Johnson, has been hurt over the past month, so I don't know if he's playing or not. I'd have to check that for sure before I make a wager, but – gun to my head, I'd go UAB anything over 7 if I had to place a bet.
Okay. Man, that's very interesting. So you're going to have that game and the Sun Belt really up for grabs, it seems like, based on what you guys have been saying. So that's going to be a fun watch. Okay, so let's go back to Ron, and let's get your final thoughts.
Yeah, you know, just to piggyback off of the point of Monday Night Football, I think the one silver lining is I read somewhere the other day that they're considering moving Monday Night Football back to ABC. I guess ABC is taking over, you know, a lot of the high-profile sporting events that ESPN has, since they're in the same family now. So I guess the one silver lining is that ABC might want a different announcing team doing Monday Night Football, which, you know, I mean, you could roll out a anybody, two dead corpses, and they would be better than Tessitore and Booger. So that's, you know, that's the fingers crossed. You know, hopefully Monday Night Football gets back to, you know, the primetime matchups. What I mean is, you know, the sexy matchups that Sunday Night Football has, and hopefully a better announcing crew behind them. Not that Monday Night Football has been bad this year. They've gotten some pretty good games, but I mean, it's unlistenable. It's unwatchable. You can't watch a telecast all the way through and not be annoyed at least 50 times from Testor and Bob McFarland. So hopefully that does change and they change the announced teams and it's for the better. But one other thing I wanted to touch on is the Rutgers hire, because that's actually been big news here. You know, all over the newspapers, the TV, locally, it's been a huge story, which I didn't expect. But I actually do think that he is the only person that they could have hired. And I say that because he was the only one who was in position or had the ability to come and make demands to improve the football operations there. And that's what he did. And he made it public when he didn't think that they were going to meet his demands. He came out basically, you know, and said, in other words, that Rutgers is a Big Ten program running it on a MAC conference budget. And unless they changed and upgraded, the way that they do things, that they were never going to be competitive. And, you know, he put it all on the table, and, you know, they initially couldn't find a deal with him. And the outrage was so great in New Jersey. People were coming out of the woodworks complaining about, the Rutgers AD, that they actually went back and got a deal done. Amazing that it was able to actually happen. And make no mistakes about it, I don't think Rutgers is ever going to be a good football team. But he did, you know, he basically slapped him in the face and said, you know, it's time for a wake-up call. This is what you guys need to do. But let's also not forget the people who, you know, think automatically that Rutgers is going to be, instantly better. When Shiano was there the first time, they were in the Big East. And he had a few years where, I mean, they were awful still in the Big East. And even when they were good and had those good seasons, they could never win the big game outside of, the Louisville game in 2007. People got to temper their expectations. I think the ceiling, the absolute ceiling for Rutgers is what Illinois did this year, which is win six games and make it to a lower level bowl. And that's on their best season. So, also this time around, he's not just competing with Penn State to get the New Jersey recruits. Since they went into the Big Ten, you have Ohio State, you have Michigan, you have the SEC teams recruiting guys in New Jersey. So it's going to be a lot harder for him to turn around the program, but it was definitely an interesting week in Rutgers football. And I will one up John with his bowl projection of Illinois and Cal. Again, on a local flair, I read somewhere else, I think it was Brett McMurphy or somebody like that, he did his bowl projections, and he actually had Illinois coming to the Pinstripe Bowl to play Pittsburgh. So,
oh, my God.
So if you think Illinois and Cal is worse, Illinois and Pittsburgh, I don't know if 10 TVs in America will turn that game on. Jesus, that is... I hope that one year we'll be able to get an Illinois and Arizona State game going in a bowl game, and we will get to see the Lovie Smith and Herm Edwards matchup that we've all been waiting for. But you know, geez, maybe they could do like a separate game for that or something. But yeah, that's my thoughts for the week. I'm excited. I'm with John. I'm excited about the bowl selection and see where everybody's going and getting down to the nitty gritty in the NFL.
Yeah, so much potential. And I do want to give a shout-out to Herm Edwards, though, for even though they've had occasional games where he's let up a really weird score like the UCLA game, overall, he's had a really good season. So he proved me wrong, I got to tell you. I think that's a good job out of him.
Dave, you know who their offensive coordinator is going to be next year, right?
Wait, really? Wait, I think I missed this. Who is it going to be?
It's going to be Marvin Lewis.
Oh, wow!
He is. He's been on as a consultant, as an offensive consultant, and I think I was reading somewhere that he's getting promoted to offensive coordinator.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And you know, like they could have, who else? Who's the other like has been in the NFL? Ron Rivera could be like the defensive coordinator now, right?
There you go.
Yeah. Wow.
Look at that. We have like 5 minutes. Do you have any thoughts on Ron Rivera? Anybody? You want to, or is that maybe we should wait until next week? John, any other thoughts you had as far as any of that?
No, I mean, it's actually maybe smart on the Panthers' part to do it now. And I mean, you're not making the playoffs, just kind of get a jump on it. But
yeah,
I'll bet I was wrong about Herm Edwards, too. I mean, they're in almost every single game, and then they had that huge upset of Oregon. So
I mean, they're never. I don't think he's ever going to win the Pac-12, but it's not like a complete dumpster fire like I thought it would be. Like, they're going to be a bowl team every year. So I guess for Arizona State, I guess there's worse states out there than that. So good job by him.
Yeah, 100%. I look forward to seeing where they end up as far as bowls. And, you know, if it's close enough, I might even go. Like, it might be that interesting where I might go to the game. So, guys, thank you so much. I'm glad to hear from you guys again. We'll do one more week of the show, one more week of the pod contest, and it should be good. Good luck to your picks, and take care, everybody. Enjoy all the games.
All right, Dave. We'll see
you. All right, take it easy, guys.
All right, fellas. Take care. Thank you very much, Ron. Thank you, John. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Dave. And thanks to all of you for listening once again tonight. This has been a really fun show. We hope you've enjoyed it. And this is going to be a very interesting week of college football action, and same for the NFL. So we hope these picks will help you out. You can find us on Twitter at DidCal, on the web at DidCal.com, Apple Podcasts, look for Dave in the City Out West. And stay tuned. These picks are going to go down to the wire. We'll see you next time.